darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
You know, in Proverbs 14:34, the Word of God says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Hi, Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network. This is the Hamilton Corner program. And hey, big shoes to fill. I'm sitting in for Abe Hamilton, and he's traveling on behalf of the ministry, and it really, really is a privilege to sit in for Abe. And so we've got a great show, and in the spirit of that verse, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. It does. To live morally, godly, righteously, to have government that is just and honest and ethical, that does lift up a people. That does exalt and elevate a people. And it goes on, it says, but, in other words, however, but is a part of speech called a conjunction. And it like joins the promise of blessing, though, with the warning if we turn away from that. And it says, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, I bring that up because I think about how blessed we are here in this nation to have a country built on the Word of God and the truths of Scripture. And I think about the saying, I'm sure you've heard it phrased a number of ways, that freedom isn't free. The blessings of freedom and liberty are secured and guarded by those that are willing to lay their lives on the line for others. And I'm speaking of veterans and service people and soldiers. And I'm so excited about a friend I want you to meet in just a minute named Scott McGill. But I've got a great love and respect for the veterans. My dad was a World War II veteran. My dad was a decorated veteran. He was in the invasion of Normandy, and he in Texas. Of course, this was years before I was born, but my dad was in a test flight that crashed, and four people in the plane, one survivor was my dad, and he got a piece of shrapnel or metal in an eye, lost his eyesight in one eye, and he was a tail gunner, he was an aviation machinist, and my dad was a pilot, and I grew up in a household that patriotism was a big deal. And I still, to this day, I mean, I guess I'm old school, but I get a lump in my throat when they sing the national anthem at a ball game. And I'm telling you, it burns me up when people that really don't know what it took to purchase our freedom and guard and secure and perpetuate our freedom, when people denigrate the flag, they denigrate America, or they denigrate service people and veterans. And not to be trite or flippant, but it took a lot of scars and stripes to preserve the stars and stripes. You read me? And so I love this nation. And I know I got a kind of a snarky email from a pastor who was listening to me, you know, at times like Memorial Day and Veterans Day, the 4th of July. My co-host on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper, and I, we wax eloquent about our love for this country. And when I hear, you know, God Bless America and Star Spangled Banner and the salute to the armed forces, you know, I do get pretty emotional. So this pastor, who was a younger pastor, emailed me and he said, "Hey, I didn't get the memo. I thought our home was in heaven." Well, yeah, it is. As a born-again believer, my home is in heaven. But I want to tell you, the two greatest nations in world history, I think number one was Israel under King Solomon, and then secondly, the United States of America, at least when we've been at our best, a nation under God and a nation with reverence for the Word of God. But I want you to meet somebody, folks. I am so excited about Veterans in Defense of Liberty and Scott McGill, who's going to be with us for a good part of this show. Veterans in Defense of Liberty is something that I was on their website, and I just really believe in what they stand for, because Scott McGill is, like myself, patriotic. They want to protect ourselves and each other, our posterity and our states and our country, by defending our Constitution as a contract, not a living document, and I want to talk about that. We're going to protect it from abuses of power, violations, and tyrannical acts from within or from without our nation and our government. Veterans in defense of liberty, there's a lot that they stand for that it just makes me want to stand up and say hallelujah. But Brother Scott McGill, I want to thank you for taking some time this evening to be with us on the Hamilton Corner on the American Family Radio Network, and we just want to learn your story. So thanks for being with us, Scott.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and where is home for you?
Home is Springfield, Missouri. In flyover country.
Yeah, you know what? It's so funny because about 15 years ago when I first began to do media and I was out in Los Angeles and a secular journalist kind of talked about, quote, flyover country. Let me tell you, to us, we call it the heartland of America.
Amen.
But God bless all of the country, flyover country included. But hey, give us a little bit of your story, Scott. Is that home originally for you?
Yes and no. I was raised in Denver for a large amount of my life. I attended the University of Denver. I was on Denver Police Department for quite a while.
Denver, Colorado?
Go ahead.
Denver, Colorado?
Denver, Colorado, yeah.
Sure.
It was a different town when I was there than it is now.
Yeah, sure.
I was in the United States Marine Corps from 1965 to 1971, and then went to medical school and did a residency at Triple Army Medical Center, and was in the Army Medical Corps from 81 to 88. And got out and launched a practice in Springfield, Missouri, and in 2010, the end of 2010, 2011, I closed it, and we founded Veterans in Defense of Liberty, believing that if America is going to be saved, veterans can save her.
Amen.
And our first claim to fame was to be alphabetically number 400 on Lois Lerner's attack list. So that's our first entry into American history, if you would.
Yeah,
but you know, Alex, freedom runs deep for those that fought for it.
Exactly, and you know what? Serving our country as you did, I guess you saw tours of duty in Vietnam at that time period.
No,
right?
I was never left the country, and that's kind of what I carry with me. I was in the United States the whole time, even though I was in during that period of time. So I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, not a Vietnam veteran.
And with the U.S. Army Medical Corps, and also served as a police officer. And so I want to say thank you for serving our country. But let me say this. Having seen the rest of the world, the more you did travel, did it make you appreciate what we have in the United States all the more?
Oh, most people don't realize how fortunate we are here, it's anywhere you travel, it drives home that it should drive home that we are incredibly fortunate to live, as you mentioned earlier, but to live in Psalms 31 or 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," and to live in such a country, we are truly blessed. But along with that blessing, I believe goes a tremendous responsibility. I get very tired a lot of times of hearing people say they died for our freedom, or they sacrificed for our liberty, because nobody died, nobody sacrificed for our freedom and liberty. We are simply the caretakers of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's 1.5 million, 2 million veterans that have died since the Revolutionary War that died so that freedom and liberty would extend to the very end of time, and it's all our responsibility to stand up and defend that and make sure we pass it on to our children and their children and their children.
I want to give a quote, and Dr. McGill, I want your comment on it. George Washington, when he was inaugurated as our first president, among his very first words uttered as president were these: "The sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted to the American people. The sacred fire of liberty has been entrusted to the American people." What does a statement like that mean to you?
Well, that means the American people, every American, needs to carry that torch of freedom and liberty. It is, it's not something that we can just sit down and walk with. We have to run with that torch. We have to maintain the fire that he's talking about. And unfortunately, true, you know, he said, also said, do not let anyone claim to be a true American if they ever attempt to remove religion from politics.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. You know, I've got an article, and I'll give out the URL later in the show where it is, but Theodore Roosevelt basically had some scathing words to say about atheism and infidels, because even Teddy Roosevelt in the late 19th century, he said, look, morals are tied to God, and what we believe about God influences what we believe about morals. And Thomas Paine and the atheists that were influential in the, you know, 18th and 19th centuries, Teddy Roosevelt said, we can't let atheism spread in America because it will undermine our foundation of morals and contribute to the unraveling of our society. But at any rate, Dr. McGill, I want to hear about, you were led to start Veterans in Defense of Liberty, and you said that if it's to be preserved and saved, the veterans can do it. And so give us kind of an overview of what the ministry is and what, you know, how people listening can learn more about it.
Well, absolutely. Veterans in Defense of Liberty is a 501c4. It's an advocacy group, not a charity. And it is, I guess in a nutshell, its main mission is to return and maintain the integrity of the Republic based upon the correct moral constitutional values. And we have recently, I'm excited that we have just recently launched a new program called Champions of Liberty, which is a program to, it's crucial that we educate and empower Americans on how to stand for biblical truth in a culture that is increasingly rejecting it. So what we have done, we're bringing veterans into Washington, D.C. We put them through a very intensive week's training. We used the National Archives of Bible Museum and Leadership Institute under Matt Morton Blackwell. And train them as to Western civilization, how that led to American exceptionalism, what the Constitution is, what the hot button topics are, and then we teach them how to win on how to wield the sword of truth on the invisible battlefield of ideas.
Beautiful.
And we teach them because every veteran has sworn to defend and protect it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And that is our obligation. And these Champions of Liberty, once trained, then go back into their own community, and they become the go-to people for talk radio, for op-eds, for public debate, for public speaking. We have a program where they will go into the school and teach civic literacy, which has been neglected, as you mentioned, last week in your piece.
Hey, forgive me. Hold that thought. Forgive me for interrupting. We're coming up on a break here, folks. We're talking to Dr. Scott McGill, Veterans in Defense of Liberty. This is big, folks. You need to know what this man is teaching us today. So stay tuned. The Hamilton Corner is coming back after this brief break. And we'll take questions, too, on the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland sitting in for Abe Hamilton III on today's edition of the Hamilton Corner. Do not go away. We're back after this.
The ERA is finally dead. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The Equal Rights Amendment has failed to be ratified by the necessary number of states by its deadline and no longer is pending in the states for action. The ERA had been marketed to Americans as promoting simple equality and putting women into the Constitution and mandating equal pay for equal work. However, any sex-based distinction in a law would be unconstitutional under the ERA and would place the legal authority for abortion in the Constitution. It would also have been used to mandate taxpayer funding for elective Medicaid abortions. The religious freedom of individuals, churches, and faith-based organizations would have been jeopardized, as well as the rights and privacy of women. It would have included an LGBT agenda that would be forced upon others who uphold marriage as between one man and one woman. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
I'm Rob Chambers, Vice President of AFA Action, the governmental affairs affiliate of AFA. I'm urging you to contact and tell your senators to end the impeachment trial and acquit President Trump. The articles of impeachment are unconstitutional and untrue. It's time to end this hoax of an impeachment. Take action now by going to afaaction.net. Tell senators to vote against calling witnesses and acquit President Trump. Visit afaaction.net to contact your senators. This is a message from AFA Action.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. God promises that if we are unjustly condemned, He will, in His time, come to our aid and deliver us from these attacks against us. We are seeing this played out in real time as President Trump's legal team masterfully defends him from false and manufactured accusations. His opponent said he will be impeached for all of history. No, he will be acquitted for all of history. If you have been falsely accused, take heart. God sees, God knows, and He will vindicate you in the eyes of the only people that matter. This will be your heritage as a servant of the Lord.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here, very, very honored to be sitting in as guest for Abraham Hamilton while he's on the road. And, you know, Abe speaks for us at our conferences. We do youth conferences around the country called Truth for a New Generation, and he's spoken for us at our camp. I do want to remind everybody, we have an apologetics camp coming up in July, July 20 through 24. We're in Western North Carolina. We've rented the Y Camp. There's a wonderful camp. And every summer, last year we had teens from seven states. And we do all the fun camp stuff, the ropes course and rock climbing and, you know, cooking marshmallows over the campfire, all the fun camp stuff. But we do worldview. And do you know what? Not only Christianity and how to know that you're saved and how to be a disciple, and then we do apologetics, how to defend your faith and how do you know that the Bible is the Word of God. And what we're trying to do, folks, we are trying to equip teens to stand strong for Jesus Christ so when they go away to college or they graduate high school, they don't fall away like so many do. But do you know what? Here in the last 5, 6, 7 years, we've also included a lot about America. Our guest that we're going to reintroduce here in just a second mentioned American exceptionalism. And we talk to kids about God and country. And so go to my website, alexmcfarland.com. That's just my name. Alex, last name, M-C-F-A-R-L-A-N-D, alexmcfarland.com. July 20 through 24, folks, our annual apologetics camp. This could mean the difference between your youth, your children, staying with Christianity or falling away. And so pray, and if you'd like some information, we'll be happy to give that to you. But I'm going to give a quote, and then I want you to meet Dr. Scott McGill, who we've been talking to, Veterans in Defense of Liberty. And listen to this quote, folks. Benjamin Franklin said, "Everybody loves the fruits of freedom, but few are willing to tend the tree that bears the fruits." See, this wonderful thing called America, it's a blessing. We have freedoms and liberties and the opportunity to work and prosper. But we can't take it for granted. In every generation, all that is the USA has to be understood and valued and defended. And so they're doing that, and Veterans in Defense of Liberty, we are honored to have them on the program. Dr. McGill, thank you for holding, and welcome back to the American Family Radio Network.
Oh, once again, it's a real pleasure to be with you, Alex.
Well, before we go too much further, I want you to give your website, Veterans in Defense of Liberty. How can people find you online?
You can find it at the initials for Veterans in Defense of Liberty, VIDOLAmerica.org. That's VIDOLAmerica.org. And you can gain a lot of information. There's also a Facebook, Veterans in Defense of Liberty, that you can follow some of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. But basically what we're doing is returning the republic to that correct moral constitutional resting place, the foundation upon which we all thrive.
Amen. Let me ask you this. The people in Congress and Senate nowadays, and they take their oath of office, they're elected, and they go to Washington. In your opinion, to what degree do you think people in office today really understand and value the Constitution?
Boy, there's a loaded question. There are a few that read it, probably. There are a tremendous number that haven't. There is a tremendous group on the left. I believe that we are truly in a real cultural civil war at the present time. Mm-hmm. And there is a group on the left that an SDS member stated it most succinctly back in the late 60s or 70s, and I think it was David Horowitz quoted him not long ago, that explains everything the left is doing, be it abortion, be it their legislation or lack thereof, be it attack on the Bladensburg Cross and religion in general. The member said, always remember that the issue is never about the issue. The issue is always about the revolution.
Mm.
And that is a group that we are truly fighting in Congress. We're fighting it right now in this impeachment issue. That the left is, you know, obviously this is a sham, but it is all about the revolution.
Meaning the revolt and the intended overthrow of the U.S. Constitution, right?
The overthrow of the U.S. Constitution and the and watching us sink into that sordid abyss of socialism. And we can't let that happen, because we're not only talking about America, we're talking about the whole future of humanity right now. Because
you know,
if America
really
goes down, so does the future of humanity.
So let me ask, this question is going to sound incredibly naive on my part, I know. This is probably going to sound just so childlike and naive. But you know, I think about, I speak to a lot of college students, and so often they're enamored with Bernie Sanders or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, people who advocate socialism. Because socialism never works. Everywhere it's ever gone, it's resulted in the worsening of the human condition. And, you know, Margaret Thatcher said 30 years ago, then Prime Minister of Great Britain, you know, Margaret Thatcher said, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money.
Exactly right.
So here's my naive question, Dr. McGill. Knowing that it never works, it always fails, it ultimately harms great masses of people, why, whether it be Bernie Sanders or AOC or any of the others, why the fascination suddenly with socialism? If ever there was an empirically proven to be failed system, it's that. Why are they so into it, in your opinion?
Well, that could be a twofold answer. I think it's either, you know, in the 1880s, the Fabian socialists began their long march through the Constitution, or through the institution, and they are hardcore. That's what they believe. They're probably just some delusional, or they're just it's their power when they're at the top of the pyramid, and there is no middle class at that time. Everybody else is just sending the money, or they are indeed have been so ideologically subverted that there is no truth that will ever get through to them. There was a gentleman back in the 80s who defected from the CIA, or defected from the KGB to Canada, and he talked about this a lot. And he said once the process of ideologic subversion, which has occurred in our schools, is complete, he said, I could take them to the Soviet Union and show them concentration camps, and they won't believe.
Yeah.
So it's a complex issue, but it is. We have to utterly defeat them in the arena of ideas.
We do. We really do. And you know, folks, for those just tuning in, we're talking to Dr. Scott McGill of the Veterans in Defense of Liberty, a wonderful organization. The website, VIDOL, like vital, VIDOLAmerica.org. And you know, this is the beautiful thing about whether it's moral truth or whether it's Christianity or whether it's even American exceptionalism, you know, defeating people in the arena of ideas. I mean, the truth is on our side, you know. The existence of morals, the authenticity of Christianity, and even the superiority of our representative government and our nation. I mean, these things are defensible, aren't they, Dr. McGill?
Well, they're totally defensible. One thing that we did during our first Champions of Liberty program, and this is not available to everybody, but we created published a book entitled Veterans Guide to Countering Progressive Propaganda. It's very, very easy to win the argument, but as I think it was Plato is accredited as saying, I don't think he ever wrote anything down, but I think he did say that once the argument is lost, slander is the only tool for the enemy. And you see that they, once they get to the point where they have lost the argument, it's all about slander.
Yeah.
And what's going on right now is somewhat slanderous, but I believe, and it's always been one of my frustrations that you listen to people on the news, for example, that will say, well, does the left hate Donald Trump more than they love this country? That's a frustrating comment. No, they don't hate Donald Trump more than they love the country. They hate him as much as they hate the country.
Yeah, I was going to say,
he can undo what they have spent the last 50 years accomplishing. So they have to get him out of there.
I don't think they love the country at all.
No, not at all. Not what it is. Only, although they take all the advantages of everything that it has provided them.
Yeah.
And sounds counterintuitive, but they do.
You know, speaking of the tool called slander, did you see Don Lemon and CNN? It was reported yesterday, laughing and mocking. I mean, the way that they were denigrating Trump supporters, I mean, it made Hillary's deplorable comment look fairly benign, didn't it? Yeah. So you saw that, didn't you?
I saw part of it. I really couldn't watch it. If I'd have watched the whole thing, I'd have had to buy a new television set.
Well, you know, back to your, you know, how New York and L.A. media, and folks, I've done both, been there, been to the high-rises of L.A. and New York City doing media. And when they, you know, callously talk about flyover country, you know, the Midwest, and they, you know, talk about places like the South and Texas and flyover country, you've got to understand, folks, that what you saw on CNN with Don Lemon and, you know, mocking Trump supporters as, you know, people that couldn't find Ukraine on a map and they don't know how to spell, and, you know, and by the way, let me just say this as a child of the South. I know I've got a Southern accent because people pick at me about that. But on CNN, Don Lemon and others, they were mocking and using, you know, very exaggerated fake Southern accents. Could you imagine if you got on TV and you were mocking Asians using a faux Asian accent? Could you imagine if you were mocking African Americans and using an exaggerated African American accent or any ethnicity or culture? You would be accused of racism. You would be just crucified. But they're on there, you know, taking the vocal affect of a Southerner and mocking and all these things. Dr. McGill, I believe, and having been, you know, I was on Comedy Central with John Roberts a few years ago, and during the commercial breaks, he would lean over and whisper curse words at me, like trying to get me rattled. So we're on a commercial break, and he's just like cursing, using unrepeatable language. And I said to him, I said, I'm so sorry, I didn't know you had Tourette's. You know, medical science has done wonders. You should see a doctor about your Tourette's. But the derision and the scorn that they have for God-fearing Americans and even for this country itself, I think what we saw on CNN over the weekend was not the exception, but it's probably the norm in the halls of secular journalism and secular academics. What do you think?
Oh, I would absolutely agree. And it is, they have become very efficient at utilizing Alinsky, and that is, you know, and one of the key principles in Alinsky's rules for radicals is use ridicule because you can't defend against it. And they are experts at that. But yeah. I'm just, you know, the fact is, we are losing our Constitution. We're losing our country. And when we signed that Constitution, we replaced the rule of man with the rule of law. And during the next two centuries, America, with all of our flaws, we became the freest, most prosperous nation on earth and the greatest force for good of any nation in history. And how do they sit there and mock that is beyond me. But they do. And they are very intent on winning this battle.
Speak to the people. And by the way, folks, if you want to ask a question of Dr. Scott McGill, Veterans in Defense of Liberty, here's the number, toll-free nationwide to American Family Radio. It's 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you have a question, we'll get you in here. But talk to us about public education, K through 12, secular universities. How much do you feel like public education has abandoned God and country, morality, and given itself over to a socialist worldview?
Well, it's been taken over into a socialist worldview. I'm not sure how much we have before the break, but I will give you
about a minute to the first
break on that, unless you want to wait until you come back.
Yeah, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's wait. I hear that music coming. And folks, you're listening to the Hamilton Corner. And you know, the Bible tells us in Joshua 1 verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We need to be strong and courageous. And can you hang on through this break, Dr. McGill?
Absolutely.
Don't go away. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland sitting in for Abe Hamilton, traveling on behalf of the ministry. Hey, we're talking about freedom. We're talking about America and what you as an individual can do to be light and preservation for this great nation. And we need it. We need a revival of the gospel. We need a revival of patriotism and love for America. Stay tuned. After this brief break, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy once said, "You can tell if a person needs encouragement. Just check to see if they're breathing." Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Today, a half hour of strong weekend radio encouragement packed with fascinating guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. Plan to join us for Encouragement Today, Saturdays at 8:05 p.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio.
Same-sex attracted Christian? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Is it right for a professing Christian to accept homosexual desires as, quote, who I am, even if not engaging in the physical act? This idea is advancing in the evangelical church, as evidenced by the Revoice Conference, which seeks to, quote, support and encourage gay, lesbian, bisexual, and other same-sex attracted Christians. The Bible says, "Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed." The Christian should never accept sinful desires, but through the truth of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, always strive to crucify them. Hear more about this debate within the Southern Baptist Convention at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and folks, Liberty University believes a private Christian education should be affordable to everyone. That's great, right? It doesn't matter if you're from California or Maine or anywhere in between, you may qualify for up to $20,780 over 4 years through Liberty's Middle America Scholarship. For more information, text MAS to the number 839-858 today. Again, that's MAS to the number 839-858. CNN's Don Lemon giggled like a schoolgirl as two guests mocked President Trump's supporters as a bunch of illiterate hillbillies. Rick Wilson, a notorious vulgarian who takes pleasure in verbally attacking conservative women, called Trump supporters the credulous Boomer Rube demo, mocking us with fake Southern accents. President Trump was right when he said the reason the mainstream media is attacking him is because they hate you. President Obama infamously accused folks in the Rust Belt of clinging to their guns and their religion, called them bitter. Hillary Clinton called us a basket of deplorables. Former Vice President Joe Biden said we were the dregs of society. Honestly, folks, I'd rather be a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, illiterate hillbilly than a perpetually offended pajama boy snowflake. And by the way, we deplorables may not be Ivy Leaguers, but we do know how to mark X on a ballot. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
You know, Dr. Scott McGill is somebody, the more we converse here, the more I want to just spend hours talking to this brother and picking his brain. And folks, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I love this nation. I've traveled to 5 of the 7 continents, and every time I get back to the USA, I get down and I kiss the ground. I honestly do, because I'm so thankful to be an American. Hey, we've got calls just stacking up. And brother, give the website for Veterans in Defense of Liberty.
Veterans in Defense of Liberty, VIDOL, VIDOLAmerica.org, theidolamerica.org.
Well, we got a lot of people want to talk with you. Is it okay if we take a few phone calls, brother?
No, go for it.
Okay, we're going to go to Kansas. Margie is on hold. Margie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for holding, and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you.
What you got?
Hello, Margie.
Well, I want to know, hi. Boy, would I like to pick your brain for a couple hours, at least. My sister was a Democrat, and she was so totally into Saul Alinsky and the whole thing. I do realize, because my dad being in World War II, that the Democrat Party was entertaining communism and all this, socialism. My question is there any link up between the communism side of this, and she got involved in Stokely Carmichael, Malcolm X, all that mess. Is there any link up between those two, or just that they were both perpetrated by the Democrat Party?
Well, that's a good question. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there was a connection between there. There is definitely a connection between everything on the left, everything that is fighting against all that is good and righteous, and that link up is through evil. We see. I frequently say that we're fighting a Medusa. We can lob off, each little head. One snake may be Planned Parenthood, and the other one may be an atheist group. But we never can find the Medusa, the head of the Medusa, and that is because the head is in fact a personification of evil, and everything else is just functioning out of it. So in that sense, they are all linked together.
And you know, folks, in a way, if you read "Why We Can't Wait," which was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s book about the nonviolence of the civil rights movement, and really which point to his Christian starting point in the civil rights movement. He warned against people like Stokely Carmichael and Malcolm X and others that would resort to violence. And even, it's interesting in that book, two things that are amazing. Dr. King said that some of his, in his word, Negro brothers, that was his wording, were defecting and going to Islam. And Dr. King said, quote, "This I take to be a disastrous error." And he seemed to understand that Islam and violence and socialism were incompatible with America. So a lot to learn. I tell you what we're going to do. I want to move on and try to get as many calls as we can. So Margie from Kansas, thank you. I want to go to Dave. Dave in Mississippi. Dave, thanks for holding and welcome to AFR.
Hey, thanks.
Hello,
for
Dave.
Taking my call.
Yes
sir. Appreciate your guest. I'd like to ask, in my lifetime, I'm mid-50s. As of the end of the Carter administration, our country was at a terrible point then, economically and societally, as well as culturally. But Reagan... And at the end of 8 years of Reagan, I would like to ask your guest, has there ever been a nation, being that the Soviet Union collapsed, that has been more powerful than the United States economically, militarily, and culturally? And I feel like over the last 30 years, we've really lost a lot of that advantage that President Reagan gave us at that point. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Well, I would say, Alex, we definitely lost a lot of it. We will always lose when the left takes over. Their intention is the destruction of this country, we're gaining a lot of it back right now. So there is still hope. The big issue is, Once a society has lost freedom, they never gain it back.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. And you know what? The caller was asking about the strength of this country. I mean, our strength has been, well, I'll put it this way. Rodney Stark, a twice Pulitzer-nominated historian from Baylor, Stark talks about our, quote, iron Protestant work ethic. Iron, strong, Protestant, a moral compass. Our work ethic, and part of the reason that we have been so prosperous, and we've had so many technological breakthroughs, and you know, I mean, people that came here as paupers could become wealthy, and create wealth that would last for generations. It was because we worked hard, said our prayers, lived right, lived within our means, and oh my goodness, that's a whole nother subject. I got to tell you, I think deficit spending and building up debt for our grandchildren, I think that's immoral. Do you, Dr. McGill?
Yes, it is, although debt to a nation is different than debt to you or me. You know, if we were going to live forever, nobody would mind how much debt we had as long as we were paying the interest back on it. And so that we've, you know, it's kind of not entirely accurate to say we're still paying on debt from the Revolutionary War, but I do believe there is a degree of immorality there. But I think an awful lot of what you were saying is absolutely on the money, because if you think about it, our Constitution was taken from and built upon the foundation of the laws of nature and of nature's God, or which is a moral law. And we, for the first time in the history of mankind, man was able to come to the United States and achieve all that he could achieve. And he was able to succeed. He was able to fail.
Yeah. I want to go to Virginia. We've got Monty on hold. Monty, are you there?
Well, thank you, Alex. I'm in Culpeper, Virginia, and we call it the birthplace of the First Amendment rights. And I have a question for you guys it's really simple. We have the most historical, accurate history book in the world called the Bible. And why can't we propose a resolution statewide and nationwide to put Bibles back in every school they were when I grew up there in the 60s?
Good question. What do you say,
Well, there's
Scott?
A move along those lines right now, you know, with the, and Trump has put, I think, just put prayer back into school. And with the winning of the Bladensburg Cross issue, where the offended observer has the right to divert his eyes, I know the military has begun to put the Bibles back into their housing and back into the hotels they have. And it could surely be done. It would be, you know, it would be easier to do it on a state level. Missouri, for example, somewhat off the subject, but Missouri is just beginning to pass laws. We have them to be voted on in the next few weeks that will actually make Missouri a sanctuary state for guns, which would allow nobody to come in and ever take them. And you could do that, make yourself a sanctuary state for the Bible and make sure, but you can pass any kind of legislation you can get passed in the state. We don't have to wait for the federal government to do it.
Great question. Great. And so, folks, translation, every one of you, if you love God and country, be informed, be registered to vote, and even consider running for office locally, regionally. You know, it is, you know, we the people. But I want to get Larry in. This is Larry in Indiana. Larry, are you still there, my friend?
I am.
Thanks for holding.
Alex.
Yes. Go ahead.
I have comments and questions, and the comment is that I believe that the people on the far left, radical socialist communist, whatever we want to call them, I believe that they hate President Trump. They hate Middle America, conservative Christians. they can't abide us. I get that. And until President Trump came along, it felt like we hadn't had a spokesperson, so to speak, maybe since President Reagan. And my concern is that they are working as hard as they can, the folks on the left, to take President Trump out. And I don't believe that there is anything that they would not do to make that happen. So my question is, and this organization, Dr. McGill, I had never heard of it. I'm a veteran, and it's something that I'm going to look into.
Great. Because, thank you for your service.
You're welcome. God forbid, something should happen with President Trump, I hope somebody is thinking about, because, like I said, it's not just President Trump that they hate. He happens to be our president, our spokesperson, but they hate us and our values. How are we going to formulate? How are we going to have a voice? Let's say he serves out another term after him. I don't see anybody really. I believe he's kind of unique. Do you see my question here?
Yeah, I do. I believe that not only is he unique, I'm of the opinion personally that I don't know that there's anybody else in the country that could do what he's doing today. Yeah. But I think his winning the election was somewhat like the Revolutionary War. Neither one of us should we have won were it not for divine providence. So I put a lot of faith in that. And I'm sure he has a lot of protection around him. And he's making changes that will last now with 190-plus federal judges. That secures our culture to some extent. But I know what you say, but I think that God will rise the right person up at the right time after his next term.
We're going to try to squeeze one more call in here. This is Jamie from North Carolina. Jamie, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks for holding. Go ahead quickly, if you don't mind, please.
Yes, sir. I would like to say what we really have here is the proverbial bubonic plague of our country, and it's just a viral infestation of evil. And I feel in my heart we have to go back to the Old Testament way of handling evil, and it's just to decimate them. I don't know what the great doctor on the other side, what his discipline is. I didn't catch it, but, you have to, if it comes back, if you don't take all your medicine, as the doctor says, it's going to come back twice-fold and fourfold worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel you have to just destroy them. You don't pay no credence to the Don Lemons and the fools out there. You just got to decimate them. And annihilate them, in lovingly, but in the Old Testament way.
That's why we've all got to pray and vote this year. But go ahead. We're almost out of time. So, Dr. McGill, give some concluding thoughts and a response to the caller as well, if you don't mind.
Well, I think the concluding thought will be everybody needs to stand up. We have to stand up for the biblical truth that our culture is built upon. And you're right. We have to destroy them on the battlefield of ideas. We have to awaken those that we can't awaken. And I'm afraid they're just a group that will be lost forever and not know what to do as we move this great nation forward as it was intended to be.
Hey, God bless you. Thanks. We're just about out of time. Veterans in Defense of Liberty, Dr. Scott McGill. And folks, I want to thank you for listening as well. This is Alex McFarland. I'm going to be back tomorrow on Exploring the Word. Hey, pray. Send your kids to our apologetics camp, July 20 through 24. Go to alexmcfarland.com. God bless you and God bless America.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.